The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Cool, tank, headshot, sit down, stand up, tank, pass out, tank, wake up, tank, baby, tank, wake up, tank, baby, tank, cool, tank, headshot, sit down, stand up, tank, pass out, tank, wake up, tank, baby, tank.
Hey, 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 wine hoes, how you doing? Well, if it isn't the baddest and bluesiest podcast in the land, you already know who it is. It's your girl, So So Lovely. And you know who is with me today? The beautiful D'Asia Ali. Say what's up.
What it is, ho. What's up?
Yes. Don't y'all niggas want to keep in touch? I'm just saying, though. Welcome back. We are on episode 11. Thank y'all for continuing to roll with us, continuing to spread the joy amongst your friends and family and co-workers and all that good stuff. We appreciate it. We put y'all putting some respect on our names, all three of y'all, and we appreciate that. And we ain't gonna say it no more.
All three of y'all.
So you know how we like to start the show off right with a little bit of a recap, which we call uncorking. So, D'Asia, how was your week, darling?
Listen, my week been super chill and, like, not too eventful, exactly the way I like it, because sometimes you need shit to not be happening. But as far as winding down today, the federal government out here playing ball-headed games because it's about to, as of... We don't know as of, what is it? Right now it's almost 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and the government shutdown is looming by midnight. As of right now, we have no continuing resolution in place. Niggas, can y'all tell me if I gotta go to work on Monday or not? Like, stop doing this. Like, right. Like, the Congress keep doing this. They'll pass a budget for like a couple months. Can they just go and pass it for the whole year and stop playing with us? But, cause I'm low key trying to be unemployed though, because I have. I know it's a serious issue for some people, most people, because we depend on our paycheck. But if they won't guarantee us that once the government back in session that we're gonna get paid, I could use a couple days off. They can close down for a little bit and act stupid and then just pay me when they get back.
Pay me what you owe me.
Because I was here in 2013 with the government shut off. We had 16 days off, my nigga. I was here for it. But other than that, as far as being bad and boozy, I just been being low-key, you know what I'm saying, trying to get back to my diet and exercise, so maybe sipping a little wine here and there, but nothing too drastic, because I'm trying to get these abs back,
yes.
Or whatever. So, drinking a lot of water, or whatever, but, you know, the week's been real uneventful. I had a black-ass MLK day on the couch, just relaxing and taking my breeds out and all that other good stuff. So, and it's cold as hell. Ain't nobody got time for shenanigans outside the house. I need to use this time to relax anyway. I'd be doing all the shenanigans when it warm up a little bit.
There you go.
Gotta recharge.
I support this.
And what about yourself?
Well,
I mean, because somebody went on a trip. Somebody probably did enough shenanigans for me.
Well, I was on vacation. Every year, the week of MLK, I take the rest of the week off. And because I only work 4 days a week, I take 3 days and I get a whole week. So, it always works for me. Yes, I was traveling. This was my first time taking a red eye, and I will never do it again.
Oh, what was wrong with it? This is all new information to me because I haven't even recapped the trip with her.
Oh, my God. Just the whole fact that I had to be at the airport at night, and then when I arrived, it was early morning the next day. And realistically, I got on the East Coast at 5 a.m. East Coast time, which was 2 a.m. My time. And I just could not sleep properly on the plane because I left so early. Like, the plane left at 7, so... It was just too much. I was tired. I just won't do it again. And then it was also my first time experiencing a weather delay coming back. So My plane got de-iced because it decided to snow that day, so I was not. And being a native Californian, I am not used to snow. Excuse me, a native Southern California. Let's get it right, because it don't snow where I live at. So to be in the snow and then be delayed because of the snow was some bullshit. And it was cold. I mean...
But have you experienced the snow prior?
Not really.
Okay.
I went skiing once when I was a kid, but it was so long ago, I really don't remember it. And then...
Oh, yeah, so that's definitely a shock.
Yeah, no. And then when I went, my daughter had a field trip last year in the mountains, and it wound up being after it snowed. So there was snow on the ground, but it felt more like ice when I was walking, so...
Okay.
Yeah, no, this is my first time actually seeing snow fall from the sky. And I was like, what the fuck is this? This is bizarre. I was like, why? This is dumb. I don't like it. It was just cold. I couldn't get warm enough. Just never. Yeah, I'm not meant for that. I must be a real African.
Because... And it was crazy because you wasn't far up the East Coast.
Nope.
And y'all, but the South. Been having more snow. The snow been doing the opposite. Like, I'm in Maryland and the South been getting more snow than us.
Man, it was dumb. But other than that, I had a really good time. I enjoyed myself. I actually went to Publix for the first time. I had some of
shout out to Publix.
I had some wings. I had some Bluebell ice cream for the first time. And I did get sick, but it was worth it.
But at least we know it's not because wasn't Bluebell in the news like 2 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, it was
but
the hysteria.
At least we know you didn't get sick because of that. You just got sick because your stomach don't be doing dairy.
No, my stomach does dairy just fine, but because I hadn't had dairy all
that's
year,
what I mean,
because
so you ain't had it in so long.
Yeah, I don't like, yeah, it was not, my stomach was like, wait a minute, bitch, what is this? Do we know what this is? What is this? So yeah, no, a good time was not had with that, but everything else is good. I enjoyed some good company. Got to see one of my good girlfriends for the first freaking time, like ever. So that was fun. Ate what I wasn't supposed to eat. I got my fill. Every day I had something to drink, y'all. It was wine and cocktails and all that shit. So it was a good old food and beverage time. Got back on the scale when I got home and was like, ooh, yeah, man. It's the reason why we don't live down there. Because a nigga would be as big as a house. And I see why in some of these states, y'all is on the larger side. Because y'all eat everything. Y'all ain't pushing your plate back for nothing.
So, like, the stereotypes of, like, well, I know when a lot of people think of California, they think of, like, L.A. and, like, this, you know, oh, like, this vegan and these people who are more health conscious or we're not going to eat all these things. Is that somewhat true?
No, it's very true. I noticed that before when I went to Texas, how everything, they gave you a lot more and you were encouraged to eat more and the whole sweet tea thing, everything was really sweet. I had a lemonade from the store and lemonade was really sweet. And I was like, what? And it was just... It was just different. I knew. I was like, yeah.
Drinking diabetes.
I was like, yeah, I could never live down here because it's just, it's not conducive for my lifestyle. I'm like, where the gym at? I was like, I wanted to go outside and like, you know, go for a walk or a run or whatever, but it was too cold. I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you don't even know about going out in the cold.
I was like, yeah, now this makes sense. It completely, totally makes sense. And it took forever to get to anybody's grocery store. So I was like, yeah, I see why. It's the food deserts and all that stuff down there. But like I said, I ate and I drank. Had some shenanigans. And yeah, it was good times had by all. So yeah,
That was
me uncorking my weekend. Yeah, so you know, I already know what comes next after us discussing our shenanigans. And you know, I can't give y'all my shenanigans because y'all my peoples, but y'all ain't my peoples, so y'all ain't getting all, inferred. Y'all just you getting
saying, some things happen.
Yeah, some stuff happened. You know what I'm saying? I did play Jenga. I lost handily. I bumped into the damn table and knocked it over.
Was it one on? It was one on one Jenga.
One on one Jenga. I lost. It was looking good for your girl, but I bumped into the table.
Was it like strip Jenga?
No, I thought about that, but the fact that it was cold as a bitch, that was just like no. No. That's what I was thinking when I ordered the games. I was like,
because I've definitely played the one, like the drunken one with friends when it's like, oh, when you pull out the one, it's like, oh, everybody take a shot or take a shot with the person to your left or something like that.
Yeah, I would have been here for it if the weather was more conducive because I was just could not get feel
but
warm
you
enough.
You getting naked outside?
I couldn't feel warm enough, man. I just felt cold. Just the whole atmosphere was just chilly.
Your blood, you wasn't meant for.
Nah.
Your blood wasn't meant for this.
I woke
weather.
Up.
Meanwhile, I'm over here asking my homegirl, can we go hiking this weekend?
Nigga. Mm-mm. Nope. And it's raining here today. I'm like, this is some bull. Like, I thought I left that weather behind. I did not anticipate bringing no cold
it
back. That's what they tell y'all, but it's a lie.
And they tell me.
Same
I'm about to be jamming to that shit.
Man, listen. Mm-mm. Don't believe it, y'all. It rains out here. Come out here in January and see it for yourself.
They lied.
They lied to you. Yes, it do. Yes, it do. Return of the rain. So, yeah.
You
gotta order. Enough about the weather talk. We know what y'all want to hear. Y'all want to hear these motherfucking reviews, don't ya, bitch? Don't ya?
Don't ya?
So I think your review is a lot more exciting than mine. So you want to let the people know what you've been imbibing?
Sure. So in today's Sipper Spit segment,
yes, grown-up adult reading voice. I like it, darling.
I be having it in me sometimes, y'all. So just a little backstory. I have this Chinese rice wine, and about a year or so ago, I trained some new hires at my job, and one of my trainees is a very enthusiastic Chinese woman, and once training was done, she was she would hear me talking about liking wine and things like that, and she brought a bottle of wine for me to try, and she brings in things, you know, like Chinese things or things native to her culture for me to try, and I'm always down for some shit. And right before Christmas, it had been a while since I think she got it for my birthday last year, which was in March. So right before Christmas, when I was mentioning the podcast or whatever to her, even though I still don't think she quite 100% knows what the fuck I meant about the podcast. I think she just know, oh, D likes wine.
Right.
But I was like, you need a gum. So I asked her, could she get me some more of the wine so I could taste it over the holidays and review? And I really did offer to, like, let me know how much it costs, because she goes to, you know, whatever, the local... the like Chinese or Asian markets and things like that. So she got me the wine. It is called Jiafen. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. I did ask her how to pronounce it and look up the pronunciation. So it's a rice wine. It is the bottle. I did put it on my delectable over the holiday when I got it, but I never actually filled in my review, so I probably should go back and do that. Of course, delectable didn't recognize the label right away, which is fine, but as we said before, the app is good because it'll, like, give it to the reviewers, and then, like, maybe in a couple days to a week, they'll go look for the product. So literally everything on the label is in Chinese. The only thing that I can read in English is, well, there's a few things I can read in English. The the only one that I've really paid much attention to is the alcohol content, 14% by volume. So I was like, even if I don't like this, I don't know what's happening. It's 14%, so we'll see. But I remembered it not being horrible, so I was like, let me try it again. So it's called Jafan is a brand, and it's a Shaoxing rice wine, and Shaoxing is the area in China where it's manufactured. And just to read a little, the English part that's on the back of the bottle, the most renowned Chinese rice wine has a history of 2,400 years. The wine is made of high quality rice from northeast China with top quality local lake water through a traditional winery process. The winery process of Shaoxing rice wine is very similar to one used in making grape wine, thus providing great nutritional benefits. It has a uniquely mild taste. It can be stored for a long time, and the longer it is stored, the greater the taste. So one thing I wanted to point out was the fact that you probably noticed that I said rice wine. So it's not, you know, it's not our traditional grapes. You know, we used to, you know, fermenting grapes and stomping grapes. So there's other types. My coworker, from her personal experience, said that most of her friends and people that she knows from China typically use it for cooking. And when you look at the color and the taste, you can definitely understand why it's used for cooking. It kind of reminds you of, you know, how when we said that to not get the cooking sherry and all the cooking wines. To me, this is an example of don't get the cooking wines if you want to go get some wine to cook with. Like, I would definitely buy something like this to keep in. If you don't like it to sip, I would definitely buy something like this to keep on deck for cooking, because the flavor kind of, I don't know if it sounds racist, but the flavor just reminds you of some Chinese food, or some Asian food. Like, it kind of reminds you of, like, half, like, okay, this is alcoholic, but it's not a grape, but it tastes good. But do I taste soy sauce? But do I not taste soy sauce? But it's kind of strong. So, you know, So when I looked up just to get a little background, I looked up rice wine in general, and rice wine is made from, of course, fermentation of rice starch that has been converted to sugars, and it's an alcoholic drink, and it's traditionally consumed in East Asia, basically all over Asia, and some places may use it in, like, different religious, like, ceremonies or whatever. And so I enjoyed it, like, straight, just to have, like, I'm going to come home from work and pour a little something. Kind of remind me of pouring, like, if you pour some brandy or some kind of dark liquor, like, neat, just, like, have a little sip at the work. That's kind of how I used it. Like, if you like really sweet or, like, more like the grapes and stuff that we talk about, that's, like, more like a berry or robust flavor, this is probably not the wine for you. But even if you don't drink it, I would definitely suggest cooking with it. But just for grins and giggles, I looked up, when I was looking online about the rice wine, I found this iTunes review. I'm not iTunes, an Amazon customer review that basically kind of hit spot on with the wine, how the wine made me feel. So I'm going to read a little bit of this. It says, so I'm no expert in Shaoxing wine or Chinese cooking in general, but a reviewer of the other brand of Shaoxing wine available at Amazon suggested this brand as a more authentic wine, so I thought I'd give it a shot. Now, my coworker said the same thing when she got the wine. She was like, this is, like, the most popular, like, famous one there, so, like, everybody, like, drinks it, cooks with it, they know what it is. And because of cultural differences, most of the people that's drinking it aren't, she emphasized to me that, like, women don't drink it. So she kind of emphasized to me that, like, from her, she's older than me, so, like, her generation, like, oh no, it's not, like, the women don't drink it, like, I guess that's frowned upon. I said, well, I'm sipping it, so we cool. She said this, back to the review, it certainly looks the part in the clay bottle with a cork stopper. My stopper is a twist top, but it does come in a cork stopper. It tasted straight hold up, Tayshia. Oh, so she said it tastes like a straight mix, like 50-50 wine and soy sauce. She's not lying. It's not bad, but clearly meant for cooking. It was called for in a recipe. Oh, so this particular person used it for a General Tso's chicken recipe. The flavor definitely came through in the finished dish and lent itself to a very authentic, quote, Chinese food flavor in the dish. The conventional wisdom for fortified wine is that it's only good for a few weeks once open, although I've seen a lot of Anna, whatever, she's just talking about, like, the cooking with the wine. I suggest, she makes the same point that I made about using it for, like, in place of, like, cooking sherry and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, she said, I probably could have just stored it on a shelf, but since she only used hers for cooking, she wrote that she kind of, like, stashed it in the freezer for future use, which I think is a good idea. If you decide to get it for tasting but don't necessarily like it, I would definitely consider just, like, storing it for cooking. So that's, like, so overall, this Zhaofan rice wine, I think is a good buy. The funny thing is, even though I could tell from the taste that it's good for cooking, my nigga ass ain't use it for cooking. I drink it, but I think I'm gonna get some in the future so I can get my little chef one. So that was a rather long review, but this is not your typical sip or spit.
Right.
So
it's international, baby.
Yeah. So I drank it over the Christmas holiday, but I didn't want to talk about it until I felt comfortable, like, elaborating on it. So I personally would say sip, but if I add the caveat, I would say cook, because it's probably overall best for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So you still consuming it?
I can see this. What was I gonna say? I'm gonna say I can see cooking it with, like, stir fry or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And if you anything like how we talk about pairing stuff, like, if you bought a bottle, I'm like, well, you could use some of it for cooking and maybe sip some of it while you're cooking, because I'm always, like, sipping and cooking at the same time. And if you guys follow me on Delectable, you should see it on my Delectable. But if you have any other inquiries or whatever, I can, like, make sure I forward you the picture, make sure it's the right one. And apparently they just literally, like, sell it on Amazon. But since I got the Chinese hookup at work, I just wait for her to go to the Asian grocery stores and get it for me.
Hey, I mean, that works better for me. Save your money, boo. Let's see. Well, my review for this week, because I drank everything familiar this weekend, I'm not going to talk about that. I decided to play it safe, even though I did see something that was, like, particularly local, and I wanted to try it. I said, nah, I don't want to try it because I don't want to be mad that I done tried some bullshit on vacation. So I just went for what I knew. But today, I mentioned it a couple of episodes back that last time I went to my wine shop, they were having a sale on some other wines. And so I picked up this wine by Skeleton. And it's called Grüner Feldliner, and it is a white, right?
Ooh, okay.
So I remember, white. Yeah, because when I went in there, I was asking for another kind of wine, and they didn't have it. And they said, well, if you like that, then you'll like this. So I said, okay, fuck it. But funny story. Actually, I have a funny vacation story, too. So when we were trying to open a bottle of wine, I wasn't. I say we, but I was not the person opening that. someone grabbed the wine opener, the cork. Oh, what is it called? The corkscrew.
Corkscrew.
Yeah. So in the middle of trying to uncork it, the corkscrew broke, and just the metal part was stuck in the cork. And I was like, shit.
So this must have been one of them little, like, dollar cork.
I don't even know. It's just completely just the wood part ripped off from the metal part. So they went to the store, got another one. But while they were gone, I was trying to pry that sucker out like any kind of way possible. I was using scissors. I was using a knife. I could not get that joint out. So then they came back. They had another corkscrew. I was like, okay. So I had to stick that corkscrew in and twist it, like, right next to the other one and just, like, pull it out. So that worked. But then today, when I was opening this bottle, I saw that it had, you know, the foil on it or whatever. So I immediately went to grab the corkscrew. And normally I cut the foil, you know, with it. But I was like, nah, I ain't going to cut the foil. Fuck it. I'm just going to stick it in there and twist.
Stick it in, dang.
Yeah.
You aggressive?
Yeah, girl, I was aggressive. I wasn't trying to get it warmed up or nothing. I just stuck it on in there, right? And so I'm screwing. And then it's like I feel like a pop. But as I'm screwing, like, it's not coming up. The little wings aren't coming up. I was like, what the fuck? So then I pull it out. Bitch, it's a screw off top. I'm like, why do they have foil on a screw off? What?
What? But it had foil covering it, so you couldn't tell it was a twist top?
No, I could not tell because there was foil on it. And so now I just got a top with a hole right in the middle.
And that's the... Okay, I ain't seen that coming. That was good. Y'all know I've been working out with my abs here.
Man, I was looking at that like, ain't this about a bitch? Like, I'd really done went straight through the damn cap twist.
That
off
is
cap.
Hilarious. She said, oh, the ears wasn't coming up.
They wasn't coming up. I was like, I'm screwing. There's nothing happening. I was like, did it push the cork down in? Did I push too hard? What's happening? Pulled it out and it was just like a little hole. And I was like, this is a motherfucking screw up. Ain't that about a bitch? But needless to say, I proceeded to pull the damn foil off and unscrew that bitch.
That is hilarious.
And I'm going to have
but
to tell
you. But now when I'm opening up wine, I'm going to be in here like, oh, I'm screwing.
Yes, shit. I was screwed, all right. I was screwed. Man. But y'all, I'm just going to explain what the wine is and then I'm going to tell y'all. It is the official wine of Austria. They say that it pairs well with aromatic vegetables, which are like your ginger and your onions and your garlic, tofu, and Japanese cuisine, which is interesting because Austria is in Europe, but it pairs well with, you know, Japanese food. It says it's fruit forward. It is high acidity, high alcohol. You know how I feel about that damn acidity. So, and the dominant flavors in it says are yellow apple, green pear, green beans, and white pepper. So, y'all ain't got to be a rocket scientist to figure out. I did not like it. I done got bamboozled 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a damn row, bitch.
Ooh,
damn.
And I love white wine, but man.
But shout out to you for like still tasting stuff and like, you know, it's like, all right, I'm still going to taste it. But it's just like either proving you right or proving you wrong.
Man, yeah. So I'm definitely don't think I'm going to like this Chardonnay I'm venturing off to try in a few weeks. But this shit right here.
Unless it's a real buttery Chardonnay. I don't got you liking it.
I mean, okay, I like it better
and
than...
speaking of buttery, today is the day we recording is National Popcorn Day.
Hey.
So y'all should be drinking. Y'all should, even if it's not National Popcorn Day, y'all should be eating popcorn while you're drinking your wine. And when I was online, I found a brand of wine called Popcorn Chardonnay.
Hey, so. There you go. So y'all
just
like
random shit.
Y'all like them nay-nays, go ahead. But in reading it from their website, skeletonwine.com, it says that it's fresh, fruity, and above all, food-friendly. Our Gruner Feltliner shows off the charms that make the grapes Austria Austria's favorite white wine varietal. A racy wine. Ma'am.
I'm sorry.
I mean, Austria kind of close to Germany, you know. A racy wine with explosive fruit flavors, a light mineral undercurrent, and a full, expansive finish, as we discussed on last week's episode. So, I can say that I like it better than I like the wine from last week. Yes, the finish is very crisp. That I do definitely get the full flavors in my mouth. It is an explosive citrus fruit flavor. I would not call it racy. There was nothing racy about this.
That don't sound racy.
No, not at all. I mean, it ain't sexy. It really ain't. But you know what? Like I said last time, I can see how some people would like it. It is definitely a spit for me because it didn't make my curl all the way, man. It was like little Luther.
She said my curl all the way.
It didn't make my curl all the way. I mean, it was a liter bottle.
Where did you get this stuff from?
I appreciate the fact that it was a full liter size bottle. I do like that. I appreciate that it is higher on the scale of alcohol content. I appreciate that. But here's the thing. I even put strawberries in this bitch, and it was not giving me something
damn.
I can feel.
At least you could spruce up the one from last week.
So. I mean, yeah, but I still like the flavor, funny enough. By itself, I like the flavor better than last week, because immediately I was like, okay, I know I'm going to probably want to put some fruit in it, but let me taste it just to be on the safe side. And I tasted it, I was like, nope.
Do you recall how it smells? How it smells?
I have it right here. Hold on. It smells like...
Look at your face!
Smells like lemons and pebbles. I smell the beets.
Okay, I'm gone.
Smells like pebbles.
I just imagine a little kid walking down the side of the street, like kicking up rocks and gravel.
That's what it smells like when you go to the beach and there's like, it smells like sand. There you go. Like sand. This is a sandy bitch.
Oh my goodness. This is hilarious. Sandy. This is one of the things that's fun about the wine, though, because like people will say, well, how could you know? Like when we talk about the notes, I'm like, well, how could you know what leather tastes like? Like, nah, nigga, you might not have tasted it, but you can kind of imagine what it tastes like when you smell it and taste it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that shit smell like pebbles. That's funny.
It smells like pebbles. I mean, somebody, it will probably be a good base for some sangria, I'm guessing. I could doctor this joint up. Not that I would, but I'm going to tell y'all now, because it is a liter bottle, ain't no way in hell I'm going to finish this. So we going to spit and we going to pour this down the drain, because I ain't.
I mean, you got to take sacrifices sometimes.
Yeah, man. And see, when I bought it, like I said, it was on sale. I bought it for the very low price of $2.99. So I figured I got...
Yeah, for the low, you good.
Yeah, I drank my glass worth, so.
Oh, so you're spitting, but just to back up a second to uncork, I totally forgot the shout out to my... I guess my island friends, because on two occasions over the long weekend, I had friends from Jamaica and Haiti both give me rum punch. And like, I'm like, oh yeah. Somebody was like, oh, one of my coworkers was telling me she made some rum punch and wanted me to come by and get it. And then the other one gave me, at my dentist's office is near her, and I got my tooth pulled. And then I'm pretty sure the rum punch she made me after the dentist appointment helped with the pain. So shout out to the friends who'll be making the rum punch, because I'm here for that shit.
Now, do you know if they use dark rum or light rum?
I believe the one lady used a light rum. Have no idea what the other one used. I just know she makes it for like her family and stuff, and when she's at work, she'll just be like, oh, D, come by, I made some extra bottles, or I got some left over. And I don't ask questions, I just stop by her house and pick it up.
There you go.
But if I get it again, I'll be sure to ask whether it's a dark rum or light rum.
Man, I just so happened, because you're talking about it, I pulled up, like, you know, rum punch online, and I'm looking at all the different ones, and they look good. But why Martha Stewart got the beigest looking rum punch?
Who?
Martha Stewart.
But don't know why I want your rum punch, Martha.
And it's from Honduras.
Mm-mm. Hold up. I'm going to have to holler at my neighbors, because I live in a... I live in a neighborhood with niggas from El Salvador, Honduras, all that shit. Let me ask them with the rum punch.
Ask like. Martinez what's poppin'.
Rodriguez. Let me ask them. I live in a very culturally diverse neighborhood right now. I don't want Martha's rum punch. I'll go to the source.
And her rum punch only has two reviews.
Because nobody coming to Martha for Rum Punch. Tell us how to make a...
Look at this space shit. You see it?
Oh!
This shit is the color of grapefruit juice, y'all.
I still don't trust her because her is so beige. But the one difference between the two that I had this weekend is one person. Hers did look more like an orangey, like tangerine-ish type color. I don't remember which rum she used, but I know she told me it was three different kinds. But I know it tastes good, and I was like, I gotta drink it at home because it tastes good. But I don't like it's strong, but it don't taste strong. And then the other one made it. It was like a I think she added some, you know, one of those Kool-Aids, but it's like the one that's already sugary, and you mix it.
Girl, they still make that. Like,
I didn't know because I literally was sitting right there. I said, "Oh, could you make me something?" And I literally was like, "Oh, they make Kool-Aid, but like the already flavored ones." But listen, she spiked that joint up. She said, "This is how I make my rum punch." I said, "That's fine. I'm gonna drink it because I'm gonna trust you. You the one from Haiti, not me. Like I'm gonna drink it." Okay. But yeah, they do still make that. But that's a tangent, but not so much tangent. Flashback.
Hey, flashback. Yep, so there you have it for our sip and spit, y'all. Yeah, it was a mixed bag again this week, so I don't know. I'm so far this year, I ain't doing too hot. I'm gonna switch back up to the reds. On vacation, I did have all reds. I'll let y'all know. I did have all red. I went back to that gnarly head Cabernet Sauvignon. So...
Mm.
Yeah, it was on sale.
Did you see and this is why y'all need to be paying attention to my social media, our social media posts. One of my girlfriends, I don't know if I posted it on the page yet, but the same girlfriend who got me the rum punch when I stopped over her house, I was just picking up the rum punch because I stopped over like in the morning after I worked out. But she goes, "Oh my goodness, I didn't offer you anything to drink. It's like 10:30 in the morning." And she, was like, "You want water?" She goes, "Water, juice, whatever, whatever." But before I can answer, she pulls out a bottle of wine. So it was like the wine called like 19 Crimes or something Crimes. And it's funny because I'll have to review it eventually, but I drink it and I'm just chilling with her. But then on Facebook this week, I see the same label again. And another friend tags me in a label because apparently... the manufacturer is doing some kind of interactive thing. So, like, the brand name is, like, 19 Crimes, and they got, like, these people on the bottle that look like criminals, but I never got a chance to read the backstory. I just drank the wine at her house and took a picture and then, like, left, but I hadn't gone back. But apparently there's, like, some history behind it as far as, like, mobsters and, you know, like, bootlegging and stuff like that. And if you're in the store, the video was, like, interactive. And if, like, you hold your camera up to the label, it did something like like, if you're just looking at it, it looked like a still picture. But when you put your camera or something to the label, that motherfucker was talking and telling you about the crime or something. Now, I don't know if this video was doctored for the internet. But now I want to go to the store and find out whether... And I need to go to the website and find out the tea behind this. Because I need to know the story. I like a little interactive shit. Like, tell me the crime. What happened? like I thought I'm just drinking wine and it's a whole other little interactive part. So see, people, this is how people know I'm a wine hoe, because niggas just tag me and shit like this online all the time, and I try to share as much of it as I can on our social medias.
Yeah, well, you know.
it was called 19 Crimes. I'm gonna have to try. I'll give a formal review the next time I get it.
Please and thank you, darling.
Oh.
But yeah, that was our sip and spit segment. Y'all know what comes up after that. And, you know, since I am inspired by my vacation, so we're going to make it a little sexy this week in terms of our sponsors. So join me as I introduce you to the beautiful wonders of Adam and Eve.
Drop a mattress, being on the floor. I'ma need ya to do a little more, yeah. The shower is overrated.
To spice things up in the bedroom? Why not surprise your lover with an adult sex toy, video, or accessory from Adam and Eve? Now, listeners of the Bad and Boozy podcast can enjoy a 50% discount on any item available at Adam and Eve. You can use this discount on vibrators, sex toys, lingerie, lubes and lotions, condoms, videos, and other naughty novelties found on their site. To receive this discount, visit the official site of CSPN, cspn.us, then select on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the site. Scroll down and click through our Adam and Eve link at the bottom, then go shopping. As you check out, put in the promo code MDAY50 at checkout to reduce any item's price by up to 50%. Plus free shipping. So I know that sex dolls are all the rage right now on social media. And so maybe to prepare yourself for buying an actual sex robot, why don't you go ahead and get you one of them, what is this? The little Fuckmaster 5000. That's like the actual the ass with the lower back and upper thigh meat attached.
Not the lower back. Oh my God. Or I mean, Valentine's Day coming up. Maybe you ain't got no booty.
Yeah. You know, knock the bottom out of something, or, you know, for...
She said knock the bottom out of something.
Or, you know, they have the ones that's like the male chest and torso.
Oh, yeah, for
the
woman.
The Peter wagon.
You might need to practice your riding skills.
You might need to practice your riding skills. You know what? Yeah. So go ahead. I suggest you go ahead. And remember, you have to click through the link at cspn.us to help keep our podcast free with your order. Order Adam and Eve through cspn.us.
Yeah.
So let me see what... Okay, so I'm going to tell y'all now. I tried to get something on there with the code. However, what I wanted was not available, and it's no fault of their own. It's just that this particular company, they don't do discounts with none of their products. So
damn.
Yeah, man. That's petty. But I did see that vibrating clit sucker.
I was thinking about that.
Let's see if that's on there.
Since they've been floating around on our Facebook.
Yeah, so let's see if it's called. Oh.
I support that, by the way. Nobody got time like that.
Ew, they got a 50 Shades of Grey one. No, thank you.
Mm.
See, I'm the type of person that looks at the reviews as well. And
it never even dawned on me to look at the reviews, y'all. Smart.
See, and this one, I found one. It's pretty decent price. It's $28.95, which means it's going to be like $14 with your discount. But it only has 3.5 stars, 73 reviews. There is another one. It has 4 stars, 142 reviews, vibrating clit climaxer. Oh, and it comes with miso honey cream.
Oh my God.
Oh, let me read y'all one That's of these reviews much. Right fast. Oh, over 10,000 sold. Hey, you know what? Might be the wave. Let's see. Ooh, the first review says, I am returning this item. It is not horrible. It just doesn't do quite as described. A bullet is the same. When the little nubbies start moving, there's only little vibrations. I couldn't feel the nubbies. If you have a bullet or other small vibrator, I wouldn't waste the money. I don't need it to vibrate. I need the suction. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
We're not here for that, baby. Let's see. Do they have everything else? There's nothing else with the suction other than the Super Sucker 2.0 vibrating stroker.
Lord.
That's the one that was only 3.5 stars. Let's read this one. Ooh. I bought this as a gift for my lover. And he says, I like the good deal I had got on everything I bought as a gift for my love. He enjoys it, but by the time my package arrived, the toy cleaner had leaked halfway home. What?
What? This not reviewing. He said he wanted to talk. This not a review.
Here we go. We didn't love the vibrator that came with it, so we switched to one that's a similar size, but the stroker works great.
Ooh.
Pros, feels good. Cons, none.
And this directly on the, is this directly on the Adam and Eve site?
Wait a minute.
You look so serious.
So you can use this for the penis and the clit.
Okay. Or are you, hold up, is we using it for a large clit or a small penis? What's happening here? Speaking of this episode of this week's episode of the read.
I'm sorry, this is gonna be the last review, but oh my god.
Okay.
This is too funny. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Ooh, I ain't ordering this.
It don't sound like we need to order this.
Inside feels pretty good, but my hand works better.
Whoa, damn, you don't need that.
Cons, did not perform as I thought it would. Need to have the vibrator at the top behind, behind the head of the penis. The ball sack is not as sensitive as the head of the penis. Why? What?
You was in.
I don't understand.
this episode.
This is supposed to be for women, but it's all men.
That's what I'm about to say. It's all men. That's because them niggas is the creepy ones. They the creepy.
Y'all just buy anything. Ooh. Y'all like, ooh, let me try this. If it'll work on her, it'll work on me. No, it's not like secret. It's not strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. This is made for a woman. Y'all can't have everything.
Meanwhile, we talk about getting a toy or something. That little feelings be hurt. Shut up.
Lord have mercy. But yeah, don't get any of those. But they got batteries on here. If you need batteries. They got
some lube.
Yeah, they have a Valentine's gift guide where they refer you to gifts for under $20. They got top 10 picks, luxury gifts for her. Ooh, the Satisfyer Pro 2 Next Generation. Oh shit!
Ooh,
over $10,000.
Satisfyer Pro 2. Okay.
Pro 2. Ooh, satisfy your sweet spot with stimulating puffs of air. Think a guy going down on you, just more intense. With its new and improved rechargeable battery, the Satisfyer Pro 2 Next Generation can deliver round after round of intense clitoral thrills. Stimulating puffs of air mimic the sensations of oral sex. Scoop-shaped tip hugs your clit for focused power. Experience 11 different power levels ranging from low to high. Waterproof for fun in the shower or tub and easy cleaning. What? We might have to
about to bust out into song, but R. Kelly stays finding songs that R. Kelly fucked up that I didn't realize he fucked up. Remember the Puff Daddy song Satisfy You? I was about to sing that. Nah. I didn't forgot that R. Kelly was on the damn track.
I thought you was gonna sing Been Around the World and Get Nothing But Love.
I was thinking, because you know the voice would be like, something to satisfy you. I'd be like, damn, you done fucked it up.
You must be used to me spending. All this sweet whining and dining.
Damn, you done fucked up so many songs.
All of them. But you know what? I might have to put this in my shopping basket because it's got 4.5 stars, y'all. Four and a half.
I like the way that one sounded.
And over 10,000 sold. And all these reviews is like, okay. So let's get into these 5-star reviews, y'all. So, we're just gonna pick some of these at random because we
have, because
we have 20 reviews now, y'all. Woo! Shoot, 20, count them. Shoot, some podcasts don't get not man man. We got 20 because y'all are some good listeners, y'all. So
keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Okay, so we might as well. I'll do our first review. I'll do our last review, and then I'll pick two in between. Okay.
So, sure.
Our very first review was from Larry Flick, who is a friend of D's and actually a he's a podcast hoster, right?
He's a host on the SiriusXM Entertainment Weekly channel. Boom. He used to be a radio host over before they got rid of their OutQ, the LGBT station. So, and he's a former editor at Billboard.
Boom. So, hey, you know, we got people, important people who like us, baby. Yep, the subject was new fun gals to hang out with. This is a fun and charming introduction to a pair of future stars. Love it. And we love you, Larry. Thank you.
Yes.
Let's see. The streets need us.
Hold up. Is that my? Hold up, because y'all know I left the review. Is that my review?
He left the review, y'all.
You know,
nigga.
Are you just saying that?
I'm too tickled. I ain't gonna read it. Y'all can read it your damn selves.
Yeah, I just said the streets need us.
Lord Jesus. Oh, golly. 5 stars by Nut06. Lord have mercy. That's some name, baby. Most people don't know shit about wine. I'm one of them. And although I may not get to be a great wine connoisseur like these two lovely ladies, I'm always tune in, and y'all should too. Love y'all. PeanutMan87, what up, bro?
Hey, what up?
Hey, see? Yes, we love it. This is hilarious. New favorite podcast by Who Cares About a Name? Love this new podcast. I know nothing about wine, and this podcast is teaching me all about the things I was scared to ask. Both hosts are great at describing what the wine tastes like. I can't lie. I had the blue bottle Moscato, LOL. But that
confession.
Was okay. But that was before the podcast. I know better now. Yes, and when you know better, you do better.
When you know better, you do better.
Yes. And the latest review that we got, it is My New Favorite by JTD. That makes me think of JT Money. Y'all, you remember that song? Yeah.
Who that
try to get up in my crew. Hey, I'm Millie rocking over here.
Shit.
That's my shit, bro. Bring it back to the 90s, baby.
I know the song. I just didn't know who the fuck sung it.
Yes, man. So maybe this is him. Hey, either way.
We're going to pretend.
Says, these ladies are funny, sophisticated, and ratchet, just like I like them. I really enjoy the banter and chemistry between them, and they always bring the knowledge. Great listen. Yes, thank
we
you.
We be knowing a little something.
You know, we like to let y'all know with a little bit of humor, a little bit of flavor in your ear, but a little bit of knowledge as well, because, you know, we is edumacated or whatever, so...
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't act like it, but I got a little sense.
Yeah, shoot, D over here got 2 degrees, so I'm just saying.
I mean, you're right.
She gotta get continuing education credits too. She gotta get CEs. That's how you know you got a real degree. Well, you still gotta get education after you already paid.
You know what I'm saying? The tax law. Just some shit just went into effect this year. I had to brush up.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, we're trying to give you a little bit of class, a little bit of sophistication, a little bit of ratchetness, and a little bit of knowledge. You know, we got something for everybody. You know what I'm talking about? So, tell your aunties and your drunkles, come on down to Bad and Boozy.
Yeah,
because
that's who we like. I aspire to be the drunk aunt.
Man.
Yes, that's the goals.
I don't aspire to be the drunk aunt, but I don't mind being with somebody's drunkle. So, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, goals.
Hey,
whatever works.
Hey, if things with the boo thing don't work out, you know, just keep a drunk uncle in the back of your mind. You know what I'm just saying? I do have specifications, though. Not just any drunk uncle.
No, yeah. Yeah, and I aspire to be a certain type of drunk auntie, but that's fine. I'm here for it.
We'll talk about our future goals on another show.
I got goals. Wait till I turn 40 and I start wearing all this leopard print.
I'm just saying.
Tell me nothing.
Hey, and your drunkle gotta be, your drunkle gotta be taller than you.
I need a drunkle that wear them short sets.
Man, I need the drunkle with the cookout sandals and the linen.
Yes. I need the linen short set and the cookout sandals.
See, I need him to be a little bit problematic too. I don't need.
Oh yeah. Oh, ain't no point in having no drunkle if he ain't a little bit problematic.
I mean, he got to be, not hotep. We can't do no hotep drunk uncles. But mm-mm. You know, a little bit of respectability politics flavor. He got it out of that.
I can take that.
Yeah, we can take that. You know, because if he's of a particular age, he gonna feel some kind of way about that anyway. As long as he don't think UGG boots are emasculating, I can roll. I can roll with him.
As long as he don't think UGG boots are emasculating,
man. Your drunko gotta look good in a suit though, and I'm not talking like them Steve Harvey.
Not
suits.
The Steve Harvey 16. No, button up.
Talk about that Italian. Cut that slim fit, you know, not the casino cuffs on the pants. I mean, nice tailored, a nice gray suit, not pinstripe or checks and no bow ties. If your drunk will wear a bow tie, don't send them my way.
Oh damn,
I can't do no bow tie.
Damn,
man.
Beloved,
I can't respect a man over 21 that wears a bow tie.
Over 21,
yeah, most man.
Half of them, that age don't even know not about a tie, period.
Bow ties are for children. Or Muslims.
They do look cute on babies. Jesus Christ.
And as for me, in my house, we serve in one Lord, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
You was a daggone fool. What we supposed to be doing next week is random.
Yeah, you're supposed to be talking about that chocolate wine.
Yeah, so the topic for this week, based on listener's choice, and feel free to continue, whether we solicit specific inquiries or not, to let us know things that you guys want to talk about on the podcast, send us articles or whatever. So a particular listener, maybe a week or so ago, and posted and asked us on the Facebook page about chocolate wine. And it was funny because it was a coincidence because that, you know, I follow the food blog. So if there is stuff that's either alcohol related or food that's that I think would pair great with wine and things, I post them. And she had missed the National Bittersweet Chocolate Day or something. So when she posted and asked about the chocolate wine, I was like, well, wine and chocolate is friends anyway. What you mean? And she was like, for real? I was like, oh, you must not have seen the post. So, because she was saying she had saw it a couple places and she wanted to try it, but she wanted to know what we thought. She wasn't sure if she should try. So I was like, oh, no, I'm a fan, as in, you guys know I don't do a lot of sweet wines, but there's a few particular chocolate wines that I like. But like I said, you should still try them. So I decided to use her topic and asking about the chocolate wine to go, a little bit more into detail today. So first, because I've seen, in my personal experience, I have seen chocolate wines that I'm like, ew, they look like chocolate milk. And I've tasted one. At the time, I couldn't remember the brand, but I'll go over that. But I've also had ones that was more just like a red wine that was infused or whatever. So my initial reaction to her was like, drink the ones that look just like red wine. But whatever, try both, because, you know, I ain't judging. Whatever one you like is the one you like. So I decided to start today with, well, what is chocolate wine? And with America's tendency to like sweeter things and things like that, it's no wonder that, like, in recent years, chocolate wine has become a thing. If you would talk to probably like people our generation before, or like wine snobs, it probably would be like a big no. But we're here to say, like, fuck all those all those things that's kind of like box you into something. If you fucking like it, try it. So sold as dessert wines and popular around, you know, holidays such as Valentine's Day and Easter. The wines fit into a larger trend that has seen America embracing its penance for wine that are fruity and sweet, such as Moscato and the sweet, zesty white and other sweet, zesty white wines. So chocolate wines tend to fall into two camps. Some are port style wines that are dark and red and have it done right. And if they're done right, a rich, dark chocolate taste. Mm. So example would be Rosenblum Cellars Desire dessert wine, and the other style, but then other styles mix cream into the wine, creating a sort of adult milkshake. So that kind of brings,
I like that. Yeah,
so those kind of bring into fact that a more traditionalist, the ones with the cream, might be referred to as a wine product and not wine, because it's not, because there's a product using the base of wine, but it's not wine per se. So there are a few. Oh, and just from my random memory, this Rosenblum Cellars, I don't recall having their chocolate wine, but I'm familiar with their brand. I know I had one of their red wines that I liked. And it falls into the port style wines. If you flash back to the episode when we talked about blends, those can kind of, some of the chocolate wines can fall into like that blend or like dessert wine flavor with the ports. So that is the, because a lot of wine lovers say that they can pick up notes of chocolate in certain varieties of wine, such as Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, and things like that, it's no wonder that eventually somebody went from, okay, let's pair this wine with this chocolate to like, let's just like combining the two. So those are the two kinds you should be on the lookout for. And then as far as the actual, some actual products to be on the lookout for, open up one of the brands.
That's what he said.
Jesus Christ, I wasn't ready.
Open so, up.
Hello. So sometimes you'll see it say, like I said, chocolate wine product. So here are six chocolate wines that you could uncork for Valentine's Day or beyond, or if you just want like a little dessert. One is Chocolate Shop. This chocolate wine from Washington State's Precept Wines is made with a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Syrah, and Cabernet Franc. It is infused with chocolate and aged in oak. Flavors include chocolate, red wine, chocolate strawberry, creme de coco, and these are all priced around $15. Choco Vine is the one that I'm familiar with. When I said I saw the one that was like, looked like chocolate milk, it's distributed by Clover Imports. This red wine product is made with a dark chocolate and Dutch cream to create flavors akin to Bailey's Irish cream or chocolate milk with a splash of brandy. Mm. Available for about $12, this product comes in four flavors: the Choco Vine Original, Whipped Cream, Espresso, and Raspberry. Okay, I didn't know they had all the flavors. I just was familiar with the original. When I'm in a mood for something sweet or whatever, I can definitely get behind this. Coco Divine, Old Pinchy Wines wine product. The Coco Divine is made with, now this is different. It's made with a white wine blend sourced from Argentina and has rich milk chocolate flavors with vanilla and caramel notes. The bottle boasts a shelf life of 9 to 12 months when stored in a refrigerator and is best served chilled. There are chocolate and wine, chocolate cherry and wine, or chocolate espresso and wine, or chocolate espresso and wine flavors, all available for around $11. Okay, that one cute. That one sound like it will be a little bit lighter than the one before, since it's using white wine. And that's new to me, because it never dawned on me that one might be made with white wine instead of red. This Envy Desire Chocolate Dessert Wine, this port-style product combines a blend of Zinfandel, Syrah, and Taringa Nacional with chocolate. It comes from Rosenblum Cellars and has a whopping 18% alcohol. We need to find this one. It's approximately $17. Maybe this will be my Valentine's Day treat to myself. I don't know. Might have to review it on the show for Valentine's Day. A truffle Merlot. Truffle Merlot made with 99% Monterey Merlot and 1% dark chocolate. This wine is produced by the Maverick Wine Shop. It has 13.5% alcohol and sells for about $10 at Publix, Kroger, and Total Wine Retailers. Shout out to Publix again. Hey. We don't have Publix up here, but you know what I'm saying? I like Publix when I be down, so. And the last one is Chocolate Lab, made with Concord grapes. Okay, I don't know. With Concord grapes and chocolate wine flavoring.
Concord grapes.
Exactly. Like, I don't know if I juice. Like this one. This sound like a sugar rush, but this product from Pleasant Valley Wine Company in New York. Well, I might have to try this one. It says, let me back up. This product from Pleasant Valley Wine Company in New York's Finger Lakes region has 10% alcohol, or maybe not. 14.8% residual sugar. That's way too sweet for me. It sells for about $9. I'm familiar and love New York's Finger Lakes regions, but that don't mean I need all the wines from there. So those are six chocolate wine, I guess, products. Since I like the way that you kind of discuss things that sound sexy, would you like to look at our chocolate wine? I found a chocolate wine recipe. Mm-hmm. It's pretty short and brief. If you'd like to jump in and tell us a little bit about if we decide to make this chocolate wine product or some kind of concoction at home.
Oh, absolutely, Deja. I would love to go ahead and read that. So give me a second while I pull that up. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
While I have a sip of water. I'm a little parched. It's real simple though. This recipe kind of reminds me of a more sweeter friend to our mulled wine. We probably could have used something like this for our holidays, but a holiday can be whenever.
Yes, a holiday is whenever. And hold on, let me get my my charger so I can read this. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, my phone was fully charged. However, what had happened was I had a video chat with the gentleman caller. with my man friend. Let me see. Chocolate wine recipe courtesy of Michael Chiarello. Ingredients: a bottle of Zinfandel wine, some whole milk, some 1 ounce quality milk chocolate finely chopped, and cocoa powder garnish. I like that. In a medium saucepan over medium-high heat, boil the wine until reduced by half. Meanwhile, bring the milk to a boil. Place the chocolate in a small mixing bowl and pour the reduced wine over the top. And whisk, making sure all of the chocolate is melted. Pour half of the hot milk into the chocolate milk mixture and whisk to blend. With the remaining milk, froth with a hand blender or a milk frother. I like it frothy. Pour the chocolate wine mixture into small cups and spoon some of the milk froth over the top. So you're supposed to finish.
Yes. Finish
with that milk. And garnish with cocoa powder and serve hot. I like the idea of that. I don't know about that Zinfandel though.
If you get the right one, that the Seven Deadly Sins? I think that could work.
Somebody try it and let us know.
And it'll probably be a little bit sweeter because it's reduced down. So, you know, that'll bring kind of like when you caramelize something and it'll like bring the sugar more to the forefront. Mm-hmm. See, I be knowing a little bit about shit, y'all. Cooking and shit. So, yeah. So, I think if any of you guys try that, let us know. I haven't done it, but it seems simple enough that, like, that's why I need some hoes to entertain, man. Or my man, I probably just have to make it for one of my brothers or something. Aww. Like, come on over.
Nah, we putting them positive vibes in the air. Send the hoes to Demetrius.
No, send the hoes, but if not, you know what I'm saying? Me and my brothers like trying my shenanigans, so they can try it.
Shout out to my brothers, Will and Tonya.
Will and Tony, shout out to the new Danny.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you.
So next, just a couple more things on the chocolate wine. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you know our friends, one of our main sources of stuff on here is Wine Folly.
Yes.
So when I was looking at stuff about chocolate wine, back in 2012, somebody over at Wine Folly did a chocolate wine review. And they ain't like it, y'all. They ain't like it. I thought that was funny. I thought that was funny because I'm looking at stuff like, oh, yeah, chocolate and wine, they friends. And then Wine Folly is like, no.
Did they throw shade, though? That's what I want to know.
They always throw a little. So I'm going to read a little bit of their wine review. And they reviewed the chocolate shop. So that was one of the ones that was like a red wine infused one. So they put honesty first. We were a little skeptical going in, not fans of the idea of wine and chocolate pairings to begin with, but we still never expected to exceed our wildest fears. Chocolate shop is a red wine infused with chocolate flavors, taking the leg work out of pairing the two. So you can kind of think of chocolate wine as in like, oh, forget eating chocolate and drinking wine. I'm just going to put them together. So they gave you a little bit on the background. They enjoy the Washington wines in general, and they wanted to support the wines that, they said the Washington wines don't get the attention they deserve. And then they go, but not this stuff. I love that shade of it all. It's not really even wine. It just uses wine as a base. It comes across as an evil cauldron of opportunistic greed blending with British wine, what smells like Tootsie Roll essence.
Wow.
Tootsie
Roll.
These motherfuckers crack me up. So why didn't that work out? Chocolate and wine, awkward friends. Every year around Valentine's Day, wineries and chocolate shops everywhere feature wine and chocolate pairings. Why do they do this? So Wine Folly friends, this particular blogger, was not a fan of mixing the two, which to me is funny because a lot of times when I've been reading, like, they have similar like hints of things, but I guess they're saying it like they said wine and chocolate are both extremely strong, nuanced, powerhouse flavors that demanded attention. So Wine Folly thinks that these things should be left alone and not mingle together. They said wine and chocolate tend to compete for some of the same taste buds, both leaving long lingering aftertaste and mouth coating. So they're saying these things are both really powerful, so don't pair them together. So like pair them separately with like so one can like be showcased. So like if you pair like your wine with mild cheese and crackers, then your wine can like take over the show. I don't necessarily agree, but it's also, like I said, whatever works for you. I personally love the two together. Can't you make it work? It says the sweetness in chocolate makes the wine taste sour. And in addition, our taste buds reject multiple bitter flavors together. This might be a little experiment for somebody to try, like see what you feel when you taste these things. Here are some pairings we have tried and will allow, but seriously, people, just don't do it. They suggested pairing peanut butter cups with this ruby port late harvest, like Zinfandel. Pair milk chocolate with Muscat. They got a few. If you just Google Wine Folly chocolate wine review. This one should come up. I'm gonna let you guys read that one in more detail. But basically, in my show notes, I was like, Wine Folly don't like it. They don't like it. I'm saying to still pair them together in one of the suggested pairings. A few of the suggested pairings I found were you just kind of think of like your dark chocolate. Let's see. So you can look around some different ones. So if we go like dark milk chocolate, okay, so let me back up. We were generally talking about the chocolate wine itself. If you're not going, I say if you don't like the chocolate wine product with like the creamy milk or whatever, or like the wine infused with the chocolate, I would still try them separately. And then you can decide from there. So either way, in my heart of hearts, I would do either the chocolate, try one of the chocolate wines or pair them separately. So a good milk chocolate is usually about half chocolate, half cream. So recommended wines with milk chocolate. Oh, yeah, some late harvest reds, a ruby port. So some of the same ones that Wine Folly were recommending. The extra fat from the cream makes milk chocolate one of the easiest true chocolates to pair wine with. To me, that basically say, stick to your nigga palate, because you know niggas like milk chocolate. So, hey. So start from there. I like dark chocolate. The bitterness in the dark chocolate is what we'll want to balance out with a properly selected wine pairing. So they have some Chianto, some other ports. There are several varietal of port style wines coming from Portugal that have ample intensity to balance out dark chocolate, including Zinfandel with cayenne chocolate. Okay. Malbec with ginger chocolate and Petite Sirah with coffee chocolate. So, you know, this wasn't under the Wine Folly review of the chocolate wine, but this was a separate article on like just pairing chocolates with wine. And one, you down with the, white chocolate or no?
White chocolate ain't chocolate.
That's what I was waiting for you to say. Because apparently bam, white chocolate isn't technically a true chocolate because it doesn't contain cocoa, the brown part with all the flavonols, but it ends up being one of the few chocolate-like sweets that will match with a dry red wine. Now, I'm going to have to try this because I don't really do white chocolate, so it never dawned on me to pair it with anything. So, recommended wines with white chocolate. Oh, they saying pair the white chocolate with our Beaujolais.
With the Bougie Negro?
Yeah, well, the Beaujolais in general, the Bougie Negro itself would be the one that was, like, only out for, like, 6 weeks. But then, like, his friends who've been out a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Just the Bougie. Only saying recommended with Pinot Noir, Beaujolais, Moscato d'Asti. And I'm going to have to look this up because this is the second time I've seen this ice wine.
I've had it before. Matter of fact, I've never had it.
Yeah, and it said pair it with the white chocolate. So, pairing dark chocolates with red wines. The idea of a beautiful glass of Cabernet with a nice piece of dark chocolate sounds marvelous, but when you put the two components together in your mouth, it usually makes the wine taste gross. Wines with some residual sugar can usually do great alongside darker chocolate. So, yeah, just keep all these things in mind. I'm personally a fan of doing this. And then you might have to, I know we're a little bit ahead, but speaking of Valentine's Day and the chocolate, before I was even this deep into wine, 1 year for Valentine's Day, I literally went to this gourmet chocolate shop and got a bunch of chocolates and then walked around the corner to the wine shop. It was like, here's some chocolates I have. Can you suggest a couple bottles of wine? And I just did my own chocolate tasting pairing and see what I like. So I suggest doing that. It could be a Valentine's Day idea to do with a mate or a girl or some girlfriends or some homies, or to do by your damn self, because shit, treat yourself, or even just to do randomly. And last but not least, just a couple little fun facts. 8 things. Let me drink some damn water with that one. 8 things you didn't know about pairing wine and chocolate. So based on what we've been hearing as far as like the competing flavors, dry red wine is a bad choice. I guess I can see that. Dry red wine is great, but it won't be too friendly to your love of candy. So grab a bottle of big burly dry Cabernet for your hunk of chocolate. So, you know, we've been talking about BBW. So we need those big, beautiful, those robust ones to pair with our chocolate. Chocolate, too, has tannins. So we all like to talk about the tannins in our red wine, but chocolate actually contains tannins, too. No surprise, more tannins exist in darker chocolate. And if you just stop and think about eating chocolate or whatever, that perfectly makes sense. Or think about if you grew up eating like Hershey's milk chocolate all the time, like the first time you tasted dark chocolate, you were like, ugh, like where did that flavor come from? That will be comparable to the flavor that you taste in those red wines when you weren't used to the drier, the red wines with more tannins. So cocoa beans are naturally fruity is one. But if your chocolate isn't sweet, your wine shouldn't be. This is the age of the cocoa percentage comparison. The more intense your chocolate is, we're talking about 80% plus cocoa here, the more intense your wine should be. Something sweet and fruity just won't work. Also, some fortified wines like a nice port will work well with a super dark chocolate. So to me, that basically is saying like, do the opposite. If your wine is if your wine is like super sweet, go dark or like a chocolate with more tannins. Cocoa beans are fermented just like grapes. I thought that was fun. Like,
that is cool.
Okay, not actually just like grapes, but cocoa beans, like wine, undergo a fermentation in order to soften and round them out, also to remove some of the tannins, and it changes in color. Chocolate and wine, no, that's one. Cocoa beans are roasted. Oh, all right. So a coffee cocktail might be a better pairing for Valentine's Day. For the people that don't want to do the wines, whatever, you know, but you know, I support coffee cocktails over here though. So, you know, if you hear all this and you still not sold on the chocolate and wine, just do the coffee. And lastly, like sumo wrestling, heavy and heavy sometimes go together. Now, who wrote this? When you pair chocolate and wine, usually red wine, you don't want to go for an expensive, delicate burgundy or Oregon Pinot Noir. The luscious heft of chocolate doesn't need it doesn't need a kimono, it needs a fur coat. Okay. Well, so it needs something heavier. Okay. Faux fur, obviously. Okay, these people are, you know, they don't want Peter coming at them. Sommeliers generally suggest pairing chocolate weight with wine weight. So think heavy, rich, like Zinfandel or Syrah. So if it's a heavier chocolate, you know, go with a heavier, rich red. So overall, whether it's chocolate and wine separately pairing together or the chocolate wines, I say try them both. What do you think?
I think you do what you do best. So if you normally pair wine with something, then pair wine with chocolate. If you normally don't and you have it separate, then I say separate the two. As for me, I don't know. But what I did find while you were talking,
yes, ma'am,
there is a wine made by Slow Down Wines, and it's called Sasha Chocolate.
You always find some random shit.
It's called Sexual Chocolate. This wine is a wine blend, and it's part Syrah and part Malbec, but they said that it has notes of chocolate and it tastes like chocolate covered cherries. So,
okay, I like that idea.
And it's 14.5% alcohol.
I like that one. That kind of is similar to I don't be paying attention to some of my local wines that I'm more familiar with. There's one from Linganore Cellars called Indulgence. So that was one of the first ones that I tasted that, let me see, Indulgence, Lingan, or Sellers. So if you're in Maryland, you could easily get this one. I'm pretty sure they probably ship to other places. But that one, it kind of reminds me of that one. Because I tend to like the infused ones if I'm going to have it. Mm. Because that just, I don't know, because I'm not like a snob, but probably more of a purist. Yeah. So I'd rather, so this, the Indulgence one by Lingan Oil Cellars is a medium-bodied dessert wine infused with natural chocolate, creating the perfect velvety dessert in a bottle. And the grapes are, it uses the Chamberson grape, which is one that I think it's grown like locally. That's one I'm familiar with. So it's like the Chamberson grape with natural cocoa flavoring. So if I'm gonna do the quote unquote chocolate wines, I tend to prefer the ones that's more of, okay, let's just infuse a hint of cocoa or something, or have a blend like the one you just said, and then add in the flavor. Let's keep for dessert down. I wonder if you could like reduce it and make like a sauce and then like to drizzle on like cheesecake or ice cream or something with one of these dessert ones.
Yeah. Sounds good. I support
one of these chocolate ones.
Yeah. So we're going to try them and we're going to put them on Delectable when we do.
Yeah.
But I definitely will not be trying some of them joints because.
Oh, no. Some of them sound like it's waiting for my stomach to hurt.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm like, don't give me the bubble guts. I don't think
yeah
so.
But y'all know what y'all like, so if it sounds like something you're interested in, I would say try it. I'm pretty sure this and the listener who suggested it, she said that she was going to just pick the one that she was looking at and trying it. So maybe write us in a review or something. Maybe join Delectable.
Yeah.
And write a review and let us know what you thought about the chocolate wine. So we can kind of do a follow up to this show.
Absolutely. I support this. See, we're a community and teamwork makes the dream work, y'all. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So you know what that's our segment of the week, y'all. But you know what comes after that, right? Wine hotel.
Do you have which one you want to read? I have one of them pulled up.
No, just go ahead and read. I read last week, so you go ahead and do the honors. This
week. Yeah, I got it.
And it's all new to me because I ain't read nair one of these ones. So my reactions.
Yeah. So
are...
this particular person, I didn't read this one either. I just knew. I just saved it, and I knew the same person wrote us too. So, you know. So, once again, shout out to the listener in the action club because I know for a fact that this person who wrote this one in is a person who comments on our stuff. You know, I won't put your name out there, but, you know, thank you. Thank you for your participation.
Hey, boo, hey!
So, wine hotel. Me and my best friend in college went to a mutual friend's birthday party. All they had to drink there was gin. This can't go right. I never had a positive experience.
Gin makes you sin.
We didn't really want that, but we were in college and broke. And all my gin stories do come from me being broke in college, too. I feel your pain already. So we weren't about to complain. We played drinking games and took shots all night. We played drinking games and took shots all night and ate plate after plate of the biggest pot of dirty rice I've ever seen. By the end of the night, my friend was drunk to the point where she couldn't drive home. So I volunteered to drive her to my place and let her spend the night there. I had to help her into my back seat because she was too drunk to sit up straight in the front seat. The whole way home, I just knew she was going to throw up in my car. We made it all the way to my parents' house without incident. I parked the car and told her to get out. In her drunkenness, she couldn't figure out how to open the door, shaking my head. So, of course, she panicked and ended up ripping the whole door panel off. What?
What
kind of Hercules?
Damn, Xena the Warrior Princess. Shit.
Damn.
That bitch strong as fuck.
I didn't see that one coming.
Because females are strong as hell.
These females. I was pissed. I told her to just wait and let me open it from the outside. She was still sloppy drunk. So I told her to get into the house and to walk up my parents' stairs to the guest bedroom. I made sure she was comfy in the bed and then went to my own room to sleep. I slept peacefully except for the few times during the night I could hear my friend walk past the door, presumably to go throw up in the bathroom. That is until I heard my mom yell my name early in the morning. She told me to come to the bathroom right now. I got to the bathroom and saw that my friend has been throwing up in the sink all night, just pounds of undigested rice and ground meat clogging up the drain and piled in the sink. Oh, that's bad. Your mama was mad. I had to scoop that shit out into the toilet and unclog the sink while my friend slept peacefully. And that is why I never volunteered to take another drunk friend home to spend the night with me. That was short and sweet. And I'm pretty sure y'all have some similar experiences.
Yes. But not ripping doors off the hinges, though.
I never ripped the doors off the hinges. I have thrown up in the sink, in my own sink, and been mad the next morning when I had to unclog the sink, though. Jesus Christ.
The only sink I threw up in was at a Denny's. Other than that, I'm good for throwing up in the toilet.
See, the one time I threw up in the sink at home was because my bathroom was small anyway, and I felt things coming out both ends. So the only thing I could do was sit on the toilet and lean my head over to the sink. So as much as I wanted to turn around and throw up in the toilet, I didn't want my butt to be facing the oven. So I had to hedge my bets.
So I know what the name of this episode is. Both ends. Loose ends. You got me hanging by a string now. Too much. Just too much.
It was too much. So that was our wine hotel. Thank you for that one. You guys can send us your drunk stories, a.k.a. wine hotels, over at badandboozypodcast@gmail.com, because we enjoy these stories. Keep them coming so we can have some damn content and judge y'all. Well, maybe not. It depends.
Or, you know, kiki overshared experiences.
Yeah, let's do that. So make sure y'all emailing us those.
And all y'all wine hoes that owe us stories that said you was going to send us stories.
A couple of y'all been writing stories for weeks. Oh, I'm going to send y'all one. How long it take you to write the story? You ain't no proclaimed author or nothing.
Calling out names this week, but starting next week. Call me corrupt because I'm calling out names.
Ooh, I'm here for it.
Shots fired. And this is where I'm going to insert the shotgun sounds.
Oh my goodness, you need the shots from, remember the Tupac and Bone Thugs and Harmony songs?
Yeah. Boom. I love that song. Ooh, yep. So, this is my favorite part of the show, y'all. Wine Hole Trivia.
Okay.
Give me the trivia. So,
I have my trivia card, and I picked this with you in mind, since you're the spiritual, you know, the Jesus one on the show.
Yes.
And I know nothing about the Bible. So, if they're lying to me, hopefully you can call them out. True or false? In the Bible, Noah gets drunk on wine.
Yeah, that's true. He got drunk and passed out, and then his sons walked in and saw him naked, so then they had to come try and cover him up. So they had to maintain his dignity, they walked backwards with the blanket to cover him up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Noah.
The Bible be having some scandalous stories.
Noah was a big drink. Shoot, nigga, wait a minute.
I didn't know what was going to come of this, but I knew it would spark some kind of answer.
Listen.
But before you give me the details, I'm going to read the answer on the card.
Okay.
True. The answer is true. Yes, it's true. In Genesis 9:20-21, Noah, the tiller of the soil, was the first to plant a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk, and he uncovered himself within his tent.
He was hot. I feel for you, Noah, because when I get hot, I want to rent my clothes too, but not put on no sackcloth and ashes. But this is what I was going to say. This is what I was going to say. Imagine you are Noah. You are in a period of time where it has never in the history of ever rained, okay? There has never been any rain. And so you hear a voice from God not only telling you that it's going to rain, but it's going to flood the earth. And you need to build a big-ass boat to save you, your family, and these animals. And he gives you instructions on exactly how to do it. So Noah, in spite of all the people telling him that he's crazy, telling him that he's wild, and calling him all kinds of names, he decides to build this boat for when it's supposed to rain. And then the rain shows up, my nigga. I would be out there drinking too. Like, man, are you serious?
That sounds like ample reason to get drunk.
Man, I don't blame Noah one bit, because having to go through all that and then build the boat and then it flooded for 40 days and for 40 nights, then you finally get to some place where it's some dry land. Hell yeah, you gonna plant a vineyard and turn up. That's man, Noah is my nigga.
I learn something new every day. I didn't know this about Noah. Sweet. I'm glad I picked this card.
I am too. I like it. I'm with it. So Noah was the first wine hoe.
Noah is the original wine hoe.
Because this is way before Jesus turned water into wine. Shoot. Noah was the original.
He was out here planting. He had a whole winery.
Man, Noah was the first winery. But man, shoot, I want. Ooh, you know them grapes wasn't even fermented. That shit tastes just like that Beaujolais Nouveau. That shit was raw ass wine.
That shit was some raw ass wine.
It's shoot, and they was drinking not even out of glass. They were drinking out of leather bottles. They're called wine skins, bruh.
Right? You like them little pouches that just be on the hip.
Yep. So that's how you know. Then they say it tastes like leather. That wine tastes like leather.
That's how niggas know it really do be tasting like leather.
Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to put new wine in old wine skins because it can make the you're not supposed to put old wine in new wine skins because it can make the thing burst. But that's that's your Bible
Bible study for this some week. Bible history, yeah. Some wine trivia for this week. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good one, D. Yes.
And wow. So we can, it's about that time to wrap it up and settle the tab.
We're getting ready to do what your mama and daddy didn't do. We're about to wrap this thing up. As always, to follow us and see our shenanigans, and we will be blogging. I know we said that last episode, but you know what? Bitches was booked, so we ain't no blog post this week, but it's gonna be some next week.
We gotta get back into the swing. That's fine. We gave y'all a nice streak of stuff in December. Y'all be fine.
Okay, we deserve a break. We deserve. So feel free to visit us at badandboozypodcast.com. If you want to follow us on social media and you want to live tweet the show, or you want to tweet us and make sure that we are in the loop, use the hashtag bad. Excuse me, I gotta edit that out. Use the hashtag bad and boozy pod. You can find us on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter using bad and boozy pod. If you want to follow myself, you want to see my boring shenanigans on the...
Boring. Meanwhile, so this bitch tweets and Instagram posts be doing numbers.
Yes! you know I am a lie.
I'm just trying to piggyback off her.
You know, my tweets been going up on a Tuesday. you can follow me at Fab Fresh and Fly on Twitter and on Instagram. If you don't know me in real life, you cannot follow me on Facebook. You'll be denied. D, you can find her at
Brains, the letter N, Buns. So Brains and Buns on the Twitters and the Instagram. You know what I'm saying? I'll be over there just, you know, doing what I do. Yeah. And you can follow us both on Delectable. I know I need to add in some reviews. I'm on Delectable as Deja Ali, and So is on there under the same Fab Fresh and Fly, correct? Yep.
All my social media, you want to find me. That's where I be. Mm-hmm. Bees in the trap. Yep. Also, merch. If you want to support us, make sure that we keep the show up and running, and make sure that you're able to pull up old episodes and all that stuff, and that our website is up to date. go ahead and purchase some merch, because when you do that, helps us support the podcast. So you can find us on Teespring. The link will be in the show notes. If you want to go ahead and put some respect on our PayPal, you do paypal.me/badandboozy. And go ahead and send us some, you know, send us an offering, you know?
Put a little something in the tip jar, as the guys, the three guys,
put something in the tip jar, put some respect in our name, you know, if you like the service that you're receiving, you know, if you're getting, how do they call it, if you're getting spiritually fed, if you're getting winely fed by us and our conversations and, you know, educated, you know, by all means, we ain't gonna turn down no offering. Go ahead and put some respect on it. You know, you pay for a concert.
Put some respect.
You pay for a lecture. You pay for a book. Why not pay for your podcast? You know, support us. You know, we support y'all. Love us back. Go ahead and love on us. If you can't reach out and touch us physically, reach out and touch us financially. Hey, shout out.
Yes.
Yes. So, do we have any other issues? Or is
Just shout out the network website.
Yeah, also,
catch us over there.
Catch us, because we are a part of the Cold Sliver Podcast Network. You can catch us at cspn.us. And you can also listen to us and spread the word about us on iTunes. Are we on Apple Music?
Apple Park. Well, it's formerly iTunes, but now it's officially the Apple Podcast app.
You can find us on the Apple Podcast app. You can find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and on Google Play.
Google Play.
Our RSS feed is out there as well. So, like me, I use Podcast Addict, and I listen to us on there. So, you know what? You can find our RSS feed on our Facebook page. So there are many ways to listen to us. We appreciate all of them, all the ways in which you are listening and engaging with us. We take nothing for granted, and we take nothing lightly. So we appreciate y'all. And with that, as a reminder, the best wine is
the one you like.
Peace out, niggas.